Good.
Good morning. It's good to be here this morning. I trust that we have a message for each one of us. What I found just what happened there is very interesting. Did you notice there were children, and there were middle-aged, and there were married ones, and I find that exciting. That when we decide to obey the Lord, when we decide that this is the next step that God would want us to do, God does not look at it and say, you have to be 55 and mature, or 65 and mature, or whatever your idea of maturity is. He just says, be obedient. Obey. And you heard the message this morning. I think that was very exciting to see. And I think there was I think Larry was just kind of excited, just doing what he did this morning because of an association there, if I got it right. Was that not his son-in-law? Oh, yeah. I had one occasion when I was able to speak at Scott Lee with my son on the platform, and both of us shared the service. And I thought it would be great that if I had son and dad would then follow son. But they turned it around, they had dad and they had son, and then I realized there was no way that I was going to be able to control my emotions if I would have been last. To hear my son speak and be in that at the same time, it was amazing. The Lord knew what he was doing when he set it up the way he did. I have this screen now. I trust that the last time I was here, those at the back, and I invite all the last 18 rows to come out front, because I tried to make the print, because I was told the last time that the print wasn't big enough so we could all see. So I put my thicker glasses on, and I trust this will be it'll work for you. I had a statement here that I was reading and doing some digging on gold and how do you purify gold. And the statement was that you use heat and the sludge or slag comes to the top and you skim that off to leave behind the gold. I know nothing about curing or creating pure gold, except just a little bit of what I read. And then there was a caption the other day that I read, and this is the caption that it said. And I found it very interesting, and I put this in, and I'm asking you the question this morning. Do I have the fire to purify the gold that is in me? I'm looking at the idea of gold as being Jesus Christ. The saving grace of Jesus Christ. Now, are you living it? Is it in you? Is it something that is exciting in you that your idea, now this is the idea of the temperature, your desire, your enthusiasm, your interest, that people around you would know that you're purifying the gold and you want to show Jesus Christ. Your old self is being put aside, scraped off the top, and up comes Jesus Christ. How are you doing this morning? Now, I know you know the story about Art Linkletter. And I believe Jim was the one that told it to you here several months ago. He was on the Larry King Live. And what he did is they were talking to him and they were discussing back and forth. And Billy Graham was on the week before, and Larry asked Billy Graham, was he ready to die? And he said, yes, and he gave his testimony. So then when Art Linkletter was on the program, he said, are you ready to die? And his answer was this, and I was shocked. Art Linkletter is a kind of man that the whole power didn't go off, so half the building still working. The thing is that Art Linkletter, in his answer, said, and I lived to enjoy Art Linkletter years ago. Now, if you're over 60, more or less, you'll remember him on TV. But this man, sitting there at 93 years old, said this, I'm looking for pleasure, and I guess I won't. He won't find that in heaven. I guess I'm going to hell. On national television, a man who I thought there had to be something, the good that he has done in this world. the good that he did as he worked for children and all those things. And at 93 years old, he'd make that statement. Now, I know you know that story. But I draw it back to your mind because I just was wondering whether or not, how many here, when you did hear that story, when it was told to you, how many got on the computer and sent him an email and told about the love of Jesus Christ? How many of you here wrote him a letter? By the way, I sat in front of that television and I heard those words. You know what I did? Nothing. That's almost, I think, about 8 months ago that he was on my team and he made that statement. I did nothing about it. Why don't you practice what you preach, preacher? When was the last time you shed a tear for Jesus Christ? When was the last time you were out somewhere and you know that that person is not saved, and in a loving way, in an encouraging way, you handed him, you spoke to them, you said something, you did something that would guide and help them to know that they're on the lost way? There will come a time, and who knows when, if that Larry King lie, Art Lynch letter is 94 years old now, and that man will die, and he will be in hell if he's not saved. You see, that's a harsh message. Yes, it is. But I'll tell you this, that the love of Jesus Christ is there for every one of us. And Jesus Christ wants to live inside us, to encourage us, to speak up. I love that story when I heard it at the funeral about Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave was unaware of the person of it. He had gone around and he spoke to that person. And when he spoke to that person, it was after, as I understand, that he came to know the Lord as Savior. And when Uncle Dave missed the announcement about sharing it at that time, he was unaware that he was the part of encouraging that man to look to Jesus Christ. Is there someone in your life today that you're going to learn, perhaps in heaven, that because of an act that you did, a word of kindness, a word of encouragement, something that was said, and that person's in heaven because of you? Have you shed a tear for Christ? Would you turn, please, to Deuteronomy 1:8? And if you, it's only one verse, so if you want to just listen, that is fine too. In Deuteronomy 1, chapter 8, it says this: "See, I have set the land before you. Go in, possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them and their descendants after them." The question or the comment I make to that verse is the verse is saying this: there was a land provided. There was, the response was to go, and the response was to possess it. Are you aware of the fact that you could own something and you don't possess it? You ever bought a car and you never drive it? You say, of course not. When I buy a car, I'm going to get into it, I'm going to use it to go to work, go get an ice cream, or go to work. Well, I could have said McDonald's, but I don't dare say that. And my daughter, when she was little, she could smell that fun. She didn't have to see it. She just knew we could be 600 miles away from home in a strange country, in a strange city, on a strange country road, no matter where it is. And she said, "Daddy, McDonald's." But I asked this question: do you possess it? We also can turn, please, here's a statement, first of all. The statement is simply this: faith is trusting and being obedient. We had four people that back here this morning were obedient to Jesus Christ. He stands here this morning with his arms open wide saying, "Come, I love you. I've provided a way for you. It is the way to life." But what happens is that I simply don't want to obey. Are you like that this morning? Oh, you've gone to church services. Yes, you've been here several times. But when it comes down to the fact of receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you say, well, that's just taking a little bit far. I'm doing my job by coming to church. My wife wants me to be here. My husband wants me to be here. It's the thing to do Sunday morning. And may I say no to all those things? The reason why we're here is to learn more about Jesus Christ and His love. Also to say, I have a future in heaven. And the only way I can be in heaven is through Jesus Christ and accepting Him as my personal Savior. There is no other way. It helps to push the right button. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 2 just simply says this. This is where we're talking about Jericho. And the Jericho was a good city, and they were had to conquer this city. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho unto you, unto your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. I draw in quickly, and I have given it to you. If you then go to verse 20, see the people shouting when the priest blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with great shout, that the wall fell down. What did the people have to do? They had to respond to God. I've given it to you. Now here's a job for you to do. Just walk around it. Now you know the story. I don't have to go into detail about the story of the walls of Jericho. And the results were, when they obeyed God, the walls fell down, and they went in and conquered. I'll tell you this morning, there is one, the name is Jesus Christ, and He has simply said, I paid it all. I paid for your sins. No sin will ever be in heaven. And God knew that, and Jesus Christ knew that. And what He said is this, He said, I will pay for your sins. On that day at Calvary, we whipped Him. We plucked His beard. We ridiculed Him. We turned our backs on Him. And He reached His arms up and said, I love you. Did I get to you at all? Are we so hard of heart and so thinking from the human element that we don't recognize the fact that Jesus Christ, I love you? I was building a deck at my daughter's place here yesterday, Friday. And they, the little guy, I think he's maybe 2 years old, somewhere in there. And he was up on the deck, and I'm on the ground level. So his little body's about this. His head is up there. I looked through these little iron railings. I love you. And he turned around and he said, what a sensation for a grandpa to have a little guy just to reach out. I knew what he was saying. When was the last time you took a few seconds and just said in your quietness of yourself, Jesus, I love you for what you have done? What was the last time? Are you in the family of God so that you can say that? Are you born again is the word that we can. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior so that you can go to God, you can go to Christ and say, I love you for what you've done. Jericho. God said it's yours. He said, take it, possess it. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 Peter 1, 3 to 9. Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, if you wanted to take a second, and where you see the word you, put your own name in there. Put me in there, or I in there. Make it personal. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. In this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Don't let this trial of today interfere with your life with Christ. Jesus Christ says this. He says, listen, there are things that I want you to learn, and there's things that are going to happen that are there for you to come up and, well, it's like that gold. It's going to take off the slag of life, and up comes the gold, the pure gold. And those are events that occur in our life, and some of them are difficult to deal with. Have you got a situation in your life this morning that is difficult to deal with? And then I ask you this, did you thank the Lord for it? Oh, come on, I'm taking it too far. And God says, no. I've got that in there so that you can become more mature, so you can grow up, so you can become that pure gold, as it were. And we, so many times, we will get depressed and angry and we'll turn our backs on God and we will refuse to listen to the message that God has. You ever done that? Of course, you folks over here don't do that. It's not folks on the other side of the river, I guess, right? And what was it? It's Peter, I won't take time to read the rest of the verses because I have them down here. And Jesus Christ has said this. This is life. I paid for it. I am life. Do you know Jesus Christ this morning as your personal Savior? He's life. It's yours to the taking. Right at this very moment, there are no special words that you have to put together. You don't have to repeat after me. It is something that you, between you and God, you and Jesus Christ, you say, talk to Him. Talk to Him and tell Him that you are a sinner. You have these things inside your life that separate you from God, and that through Jesus Christ, you can have a way so you're no longer separated from God. Isn't that wonderful? You can have peace with God. You know, this salvation that I've got comes with instructions. Here it is. When was the last time you opened the instructions book? Or are you one of those people like me that I'm an auto mechanic, and when all things fail, I read the repair manual? You don't have a car for the next 6 weeks, but that's okay. No. You see, in the trade that I was in, I didn't know everything about my trade, but I had a manual that I could go to that was prepared for a mechanic like me, that I could go and I could look at it and I could find out how to repair that specific car. Jesus Christ says, you are a special person. You are a particular person. I provided a manual so that you can see. Are you seeing it? I like this part about the verse, and it simply says it's unspeakable. If you use the King James Version, unspeakable. Did you realize that no matter how much I could fill this room up with words, I could never say enough, complete enough, fulfill the fact of God's love? Did you know that? I mean, as a teacher, the one thing I would love to have was the kids at the end of the period, when it got to be 5 minutes before the end of the period, they all wanted to leave. I can never understand why they want to leave my class, but they did. Yes, I did understand. They wanted to leave. So when it got to be 5 minutes before the period was over, sir, can we leave now? And it never stopped. Out of 25 guys, there were only 24 that would ask. And that one was just, I don't know what's going on anyhow. But isn't it amazing how the thing is about the end of the period, the end of the class, they were wanting to get out, they were wanting to escape of some, to get away. And you know what I really do? I just kept the lesson going. I filled the time. And I thought they wanted to get up in the bell went. I'm not quite waiting, I gotta just finish one more line. There was always one more line. I ask you this. Jesus Christ says, I have made the way. And I have provided a way. Are we listening? Are we applying it to our lives in Jesus Christ? It's unspeakable. I will say this, though. If you read these verses and you read it through, you'll find that victory that Jesus Christ gives us, gives us responsibility, requires giving all. This is going to come out wrong, but it's fact. The most difficult thing that let me go back. I made a list many years ago at 37 years old, and that's only about, 8 to 10 years ago. I made this list of all the things that I never gave the Lord. I was a Christian. I was saved when I was 10 years old. But I made this list up, and I had this big, long list. And I had a snowplow, a 1988 monster snowplow truck. I had 4 sets of tires for it. And I had these mudders that just would go through everything and anything. And on the list, I put down the truck and gave it to the Lord. I gave my children to the Lord. I gave all the things that I could think of that needed to hand over to the Lord. And it came down to those big mudders. I spent over $600 in buying these things. And how do you give them up? I mean, come on, I need 4 sets of tires. You know what the Lord said? So, I took them down to the store, and I knew that no one ever buy those 3 sets of tires. I get one. The truck seems to roll back on tires. The 3 sets. They will not sell them. It'll not happen. They'll be there when I come back. And I went back that night. All 3 sets were sold. What nerve of God to do that? He wants our all. He wants our children. He wants our ideas. He wants our mind. He wants our thinking. He wants all the aspects of us. He wants our girlfriend. He wants our wife. He wants a husband. He wants all. I ask this question by putting this slide up. Possess it. Don't just have an ownership of Jesus Christ. Possess it. And without causing embarrassment. I don't mean it that way, but I love over all the years of Uncle Dave handing out a tract. You can't go near Uncle Dave without getting a tract or a bear hug. You had one? You know what I'm talking about. But you know, don't leave it all on his shoulders. How about your interpretation of Uncle Dave's bear hug? How about your version of presenting Jesus Christ through a tract or saying something as Uncle Dave would? But to see the escape is, well, that's Uncle Dave. He could do that. And might I just say, you know, there's someone at school. There's someone next door to you. There's someone at the mall. There's someone somewhere that is waiting for you to do your part for Jesus Christ. Will you possess your Christian life? Live it. You say, well, I'm just a dad. I go to work and I just sort of do this kind of, and I come to the meetings and I do this and I do that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about living it for Jesus Christ and possessing it. What is life? Well, I come up with 5 little pictures of life, and the middle one I've never got there yet, but I'm working on it, but here is what the world says that life is. Life is this. 37% of my time is spent at work. It also says that 27% of my time is time off. It also says this, the 17% is retirement. I'm working on that one. It says 11% was at school. It says that 7% is preschool. And then it says that 1% is church. And we wonder why all the chaos in the world is going on today. Why is it that the laws of the land and the government of the land are making decisions that just don't make sense? If I can just take it, I'll say this, because of 1%. You cannot spend your life and involve Jesus Christ or God and make it 1% of your life and then wonder, oh, what a wonderful success. Because that picture is not a picture of life. That picture is a wrong picture of life because everything that's involved requires 100% of church, if you like. 100% of Jesus Christ. 100% is God in your life. You pick up two scoops of raisins. No matter what you do, it's done with Jesus Christ because he says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am life. You ever seen a pack like this? Now, since you don't recognize this, this is stuff that grows there by the border, I know. But this is dandelion. And dandelions have a great time because dandelions come to this point in life and they start letting the wind blow these things off. And I, as a neighbor, I find it most irritating when their lawn is full of those guys and then my lawn is full of that snow. Because next spring, I'm going to look like that previous slide, right? Been there, done that. I want to show you something. Dandelion. A dandelion, the word simply means the tooth of a lion. It simply says this. In the beginning of a dandelion back in 17 and change, it was a good thing. It was simply this. The leaf was used for salads. It was health remedy. The root was used for coffee. And did you know this, that 55 tons of dandelion roots are used every year to make coffee? Good excuse to quit. It feeds 93 different insects. Isn't that a wonderful piece of information? Did you know that the roots, they grow very quickly? Did you know that the roots will steal water from other plants? Did you notice that there are very few plants around the base of a dandelion? Ha-ha! It steals the life of the plant that's around it. It overpowers all other plants in life. Cut the stem off, and the root grows again. And did you know this? To kill it, all the root must be destroyed. You know what that reminds me of? Sin. Every time I see a dandelion, after doing this digging up of the dandelion, I think that I just sit. I have one dandelion in my yard, and if I let it grow and don't do anything about it, before I know it, there's 1,700. And if you leave it long enough, it takes over the land. You're just like sin. There was a time when I thought that sin was pretty good. I mean, it was only a little sin. You ever felt that way? But God doesn't call little sin big sin. He just simply says, things are sin. And if we don't get rid of it, it grows and grows. And of course, there is a way in which we don't have to live like the dandelion. We can ask Jesus Christ to wash that sin away. We can get rid of the root of our sin by through Jesus Christ. Here's a flower. And I found this one on the internet when I was searching over in Israel for some information for another message. And this flower's name is yesterday, today, tomorrow. Look at yesterday. It's the outside parameter of the flower. And it's fading slightly from its root colors. And that's what God says about life. Yesterday is yesterday. Look at today. It is the center part of the flower, that blue, purple, I don't know what those colors are, but I know it's not red. It is one of those things that just makes it beautiful looking from the center part of a flower. that's today. Are you living for Jesus Christ like that? Not living from tomorrow, from yesterday, but you're living as it is today. And of course then, look at tomorrow. We don't have a tomorrow, but I will tell you this. Just like that flower, it is green, which is an idea for me. It's a thing that something is going to grow. You can grow in Jesus Christ. Tomorrow is going to be a wonderful day if it comes, if that's God's choice. I was saved this way. I'm going to use Matthew 7 and 13. There's a broad way and a narrow way. And what I did, I was born on that broad road in 1940. I lived on that broad road, and the burden of my sin, I got to pass that. I needed a crutch. I looked for things that would just help me to get through life, like lying to mom. And you know, there was something that happened. But I also learned this. It is pointed unto me that Wendell DeVries was going to die someday. And if I died in my sins, it would be the end of me, because after death is the judgment. If I had that burden on my back, if I was using the crutches of life, when I died, my soul would go to hell and my body would be put into a grave. But my mother beside a stove back in 1950, a good wood stove, she came to me and she said, "Wendell, I'd like to show you a verse." And through John 3:16, it was my experience that I showed this, that I walked to that door of Jesus Christ. And when I walked to that door, I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. My burdens fell off. I relied on Jesus Christ only. I didn't need my world crutches anymore. And what I did is I lost judgment. There was no longer judgment in my life. Remember this slide? Where am I going here? I just went back. That one right there. Hell was my destiny. But because I received Jesus Christ, I no longer could go to hell. I had a place in heaven because I received Him as my Savior. There's the verse. There are three words missing out of the first part of that verse, and I think you already know what the words are, right? The world. There's one word missing down below after that, and that word is whosoever. I can take those words out. And what I did as a young boy at 10 years old, I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. My mother guided me and said, "Wendell, you put your name in there. Make it personal." And when I put my name in those two spots, I realized that Jesus Christ died for me. I asked Him to come into my life. I remember my mother saying, "You go now to your bedroom and pray and talk to God about the decision that you made." And that I did. And this is the choice I made, that I could have everlasting life. I take up my name. I take up my name in both spots, and I say to you, "Put your name in there." I know you don't need John 3:16 to get saved. That's the verse that I saw the light, if you like. I saw Jesus Christ as the one and the only one. There are other verses in the Bible, but you can turn and you can say, "I can put my name in there, for God so loved," and you can go on. He wants you today. He has open arms for you. He says, "I love you." There's no other way to life except for me. That's what Jesus Christ said. Of course, Jesus Christ, these are painted pictures of different events of Jesus Christ. And here He is talking to the people. And He's calling these people. Come on and be fishers of men. Here are men that were in a boat and they spent their career on Sea of Galilee going out and catching fish. And what He said to them, "Come. I want you to be fishers of men." Remember when I first started? Did you shed a tear for Jesus Christ? The first few words, the first few sentences I said, as I asked you today, have you come? Are you living for Christ that you can invite others to come? Jesus Christ also, He had the power to heal people. He had the ability to take their blindness and let the people see. I was reading this morning where the Samaritan man, there were 10 lepers. And you know the story where he healed those 10 lepers, but only one came back and said, "Thank you." And worshiped Him for life. That's what Jesus Christ wants. He wants you to take your life and set your personal life aside and let Him come in and take over the controls of your life and come in. And it's amazing. It's just amazing what He'll do. He had control over the sea. You know the story about how the boat was rocking real good. And because Jesus Christ was aboard, the waves and the wind stopped. I know there's tests and turmoils in our lives. And when there's tests and turmoils in our life, God says, I'll give you the ability. I want you to go through this, so I'll give you the ability to do it. Is it tough? Yes. Anything that's worthwhile is tough, is it not? And Jesus Christ says, I'm going to go through with you. I guess of all a lot of the stories, I like this in the back. In the stories of Christ, he opens up, his friends open up the roof of the house, and he lowers the man down that couldn't walk. And Jesus Christ told him to pick up his bag and walk. I want to ask you now, for those that are Christians, you've been living on a road all your life. Well, all your life in the sense that the day that you got saved, whatever date that is in your mind, there's from that point to this day. I want to ask you this, because this is what I found in the last 8 months. I found out that I can take my life and divide it into two sections. The one section is giving praise to God for whatever I say or whatever I've done, or whatever they've done or whatever they have said to me. I thank the Lord for it. Or I'm asking for forgiveness for what I said or what I've done, or what they did or what they said to me. I've been able to chop it. Now, there's an interesting thing, if you didn't follow me for a second. Here's a cube, this wonderful cube in here, and I find sometimes that on the forgiving side, it's little, and I'm praising him a whole bunch. Not all the time, because I find this, that the praise gets down to here, and I'm on my knees saying, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, so many times a day. But you know, it is so good to know that I have a God who is there waiting and wanting me to be able to come to him and say thank you for what that person said to me. They just royally gave me a goal. And God said, yeah, I'm going to use that for good if you let me. Thank you, Lord. Maybe I've said something to someone and I need to go to them and ask them for forgiveness. Or maybe I go to God and I say, that what I just said something that was so wrong. Please forgive me. I find that my Christian life is divided in two halves, but it never stays half, half and half. It's a variance of that. Spending time. By the way, I want to ask, is your slate clean? What's in your life right now that is you have not thanked the Lord for? That tragedy. That home run that you just hit. You were successfully washed the dishes, and you didn't break one. I don't know what the event in your life is, but is there a time when you can say, listen, what I've done is this, I can thank the Lord. And by the way, maybe 2 years ago something happened in your life and you never thanked the Lord for it. Right now you can do that. Maybe there's something in your life that happened several years ago, many years ago, if you get to my age, and there's something there that you never asked God to forgive you for, take it to him. Have the table between you and the Lord clean. God's way is a serious business, and I think we all know that, but it's a joyous one. It's a wonderful way. God is gracious. God is forgiving. God is long-suffering. See, I never knew this before, and I don't know if I got the whole story in here yet, but if you know this guy, Methuselah, he lived 900 plus years, right? Did you know that showing God's long suffering, he spoke to his dad before and said that an event will occur after your son dies? 900 plus years went by before God did what he said he was going to do. You say God's not long suffering? I don't. I look at my own life in the mirror and I say, listen. The one thing that I got is I need to go to God and I need to thank him for what he's doing. And I look back at my life and he's long suffered to wait for me. He's just. Acts 22. This is Paul's life. I'm going to do this very quickly. It's
right here in the verses we want to turn to them, Acts 22, 14 and 15. God says, listen, Paul, Ananias had to send him a message, or when he spoke to him, he said, tell Paul, here's what I got for you. You're a chosen of God. And Paul, you're chosen to know God's will. You're chosen to see Jesus. You're chosen to hear his voice. You're chosen to be a special witness to all men. You're chosen vessel of God. Those are the things that Ananias and Paul communicated back and forth with. And he talked to Paul and spoke to him these things. And I have a question for us this morning. And the question is this. Did you know that you can have this morning? You can be a chosen one of God if you'll accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Question number two. Who changed who? Did Ananias change Paul, or did Paul change Ananias? Interesting question. I think it is. Here's Ananias. He's an everyday guy, just going to work and doing things, and he gets this message, go to Saul, and I got something to tell him. You're going to meet him on the street named Straight. You got to be kidding. This guy killed Christians. I won. You want him to die? Saul. He was told to go to the street. And when he got there, in walks an ordinary, everyday Joe. Just doing an everyday job. And he was the one that gave the message to Paul. And look what Paul became. Listen, every one of us in this room, if you fail to get a hold of Art Linkletter, don't be discouraged. Find someone else. Find someone else. Who is it going to be this morning? Your neighbor? Is it going to be a friend? Is it going to be your husband? Is it going to be your wife? I don't know who it's going to be, but just don't let it pass again, right? You see, Ananias affected Paul. Paul affected Ananias. Ananias was never the same man after the experience with Paul. I'm quite sure of that. Because you realize the fear that must have been in that poor man when he knew the history of what Paul, then at that time, saw, what he was doing, but he obeyed. Nothing in Scripture, when you turn to Acts, nothing in Scripture says that he paused and said, wait a minute, Lord. There's a better plan, right? You're just kidding. He didn't do it. And as we close, I ask you, is today the day that you will choose Jesus Christ if you're not saved? And for us that have been on the road for years, today is the day that you choose to possess the land. And you're going to live it for Jesus Christ. See, there's no age to this, is there? I can be old, 2 feet in a banana peel, and I'm sliding down that ski run, and the jump is coming. And I don't know when, but I know that I'm slipping and sliding, and it's almost there. And God says, so what's your point? I can be young in this room, and the youngest in this room only is what? 25, 35? No. You're the youngest in this room. No matter who we are, Jesus Christ says, listen, I'm the way. And I want to share life with you. Will you let him?